It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you here in studio today. And welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective.
And dare I say one thing before I shut up here?
Go ahead.
Can I say happy anniversary?
Thank you very much. 26 blissful years.
There you go.
Well, I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and today's topic is the world's best-kept secret your services or product? You know, we've all heard that the saying that says, build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. But is it true in today's internet world of unlimited choices and easy access to anything, anywhere in the world? You know, dealing with the issue of how buyers will find you is almost more critical than the service or product you offer. So we're going to talk today about that issue, and I'm going to give you some tips on how to deal with it. So let's get started. You know, in the last month, we've had a number of guests on the show who've shared with us ways in which to use social media to grow our businesses. Both Molly Mahoney and Vicki Fitch talked about using Facebook Live. Vicki also shared her passion for Periscope. And last week, when I asked Molly how people found her, she explained how she uses Facebook ads to build her contact list. Frankly, that's a really interesting thing that she sort of slipped in. So if you want to know more about that, go back and listen to the podcast. It's on our site, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, I know that I use a weekly email newsletter to make people aware of this radio show, and there are probably lots of ways we could find to build our list of contacts to draw people to our services or product. However, the real issue here is once you make the contact, why should they be interested in you? You know, I just finished reading a book that's given me some new insights into this issue. It is The Brand Mapping Strategy by Karen Tibber Leland. That's The Brand Mapping Strategy by Karen Tibber Leland, and it's available on Amazon. You know, I'd probably not have read this book if it had not been highly recommended to me by my personal coach, Cynthia Lloyd Darst. I mean, really, who needs to read another book on branding? Don't they all sort of say the same thing, and aren't they all geared to big companies, which I'm not? Well, not this one. I'm going to share with you a few of the key thought stimulators that I got from this book. So I encourage you to get the book and read the whole thing, because I'm only going to cover a little bit of it. You know, I love the way she starts the book with a list of 10 reasons to buy the book. I thought that was great. And they're not the usual fluff about why branding is so important, but instead she lists 10 results that you would achieve if you had an effective branding message and program. You know, for me, all 10 were results I would like to achieve, so I plowed on with my reading into the book. You know, as our recent guests have pointed out, there's lots of new ways to use social media to talk about your brand. However, step one is to get really clear on your brand specifics. This is what then should drive all our other actions with social media, from the design of the website to the language used in your messages. And the heart of Karen's book, from my point of view, is what she refers to as the 7 core elements of your branding statement. And I'd like to kind of go over those 7 elements today, because I think that's what's really key. Number one is what she calls the anchor statement. She says, what is the go-to description of who you are and what you do, sometimes referred to as your elevator pitch? You know, this is a brief and to-the-point statement. It's not a complete list of everything that you do. It can include some additional talking points if you're asked to explain further. And it includes not only what you do, what people will have in terms of results, impacts, and outcomes from engaging with you, but also why behind it or the way you are being. Let's go back over that a minute. Typically, the elevator pitch talks about what you do. And many times people will say, you know, it should sort of end with a teaser line that encourages people to ask you other things. But for most of the literature that I've read on it, it's sort of a features and benefits statement. These are all the things I do. But what Karen points out in her book is make sure this tells people the results that they will get from interacting with you, not just what you would do. Make sure they know the impact and the outcomes that they're going to get from engaging you, and also why you do it. Step number two for her is your unique branding proposition. And we've all heard about that. You know, what is it about what you do or how you do it that makes you unique, distinctive, and special? What sets you apart? And that's, for me in the past, has been the toughest thing to identify. What is my unique branding proposition? If I think I'm a coach, what's unique? Well, a lot of people are coaches. She says that the way to look at this is, what would be the response if you were asked this question, why should I use or buy from you? And to do that, you need to think about the answer to these two questions. What is it that your audience doesn't know that they don't know about what they want? What is it that you provide that they may have never thought about, but when they hear it, they say, oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And the second question, what do you do that is difficult to imitate? What is it that you have that most of your competitors find hard to match? Those are the two statements that, as you think about your answer to those, you're going to stumble on, come across, be able to articulate what your unique branding proposition is. You know, what do I have that's difficult to imitate? What is it that I have that most other coaches don't have? Well, I always make sure I tell people, I'm a radio show host. Not a lot of other coaches can say that. Is it important? Well, I don't know. It just makes me different. And that's what we're going for in this unique branding proposition. The difficult question to answer is, what is it they don't know that they don't even know enough to ask about what you do, so that when you say it, they go, oh, that's what I'm looking for. When people ask about coaching, I hear lots of coaches say, well, you know, I help you achieve a balance in life, or I help you identify what your problems are. And people kind of go, yeah, I can understand that. But what is it that is the real answer to that that they want to hear? I help you get a balance so that you sleep better at night, so that you're less stressed, so that you have more time to spend with your family. Oh, that's what it's about. Okay. The third item, what is your brand tone and temperament? Boy, that one stopped me and I had to reread it a couple of times. She says, what is the consistent mood, tenor, quality, character, and manner that you bring to all your interactions? This was a tough one for me to explain, but the examples she gave made it pretty easy to know what I was looking for. She says, before you start designing or writing, you need to know what the tone and temperament is that you want to convey. You know, in our normal day-to-day conversations, we know this. Hey, this is my anniversary, 26 years. My tone tonight is one of thankfulness. It's one of appreciation. Now, if I'm talking to Paul about, you know, reducing my bill for being on the air, my tone is a whole different kind of tone and temperament. But what we're looking for here is, what is your tone and temperament that's consistent all of the time and that sort of says who you are and what you do? Here's the examples that really rang with me. Apple, what's their tone? Friendly, innovative design. Disney, here's their tone. Family-oriented fun. Walmart, here's their tone. Basics at a value and price. These examples made it really easy for me to identify what it is that I was looking for, but it wasn't until I went through the exercises that Karen had in her book that I was really able to sort of narrow it down to be able to articulate it. And I'm not going to take you through those. You've got to go buy the book to figure that one out. All right, number four is brand energy. Brand energy. What can you be counted on to contribute to in all circumstances at all times? And again, Karen identifies 12 different brand energies. You need to select which one or two you're known for, that you're frequently acknowledged for, or that you can be counted on to contribute. Kind of reminded me of last week when we had Molly Mahoney on the show, and we asked her, you know, what is your guiding principle? And she says, joy, real loud, and practically jumped out of the chair. And it's like, joy? She said, yeah, I'm all about bringing joy to every situation. And I think not only can I attest to it, but Paul was here in the studio. The minute she walked in, it was joy. She was up. She was bubbly. In fact, I said, you know, is it joy or bubbly? She said, no, I like joy better. But that was the energy that she brings to everything that she does, everywhere, every time, consistently. So you need to think about what is the energy that you want to bring, not just when you're meeting with somebody, but in your communication. That energy has to flow through into your newsletters. It flows through into your website design. It flows through into your project proposals. And I'm pretty sure from what I've seen of what Molly does, every video I've ever seen that she's done, the joy factor is there. When I look at her website, it's just a fun website. The joy comes right through. So think about the brand energy that you want to convey. Number five is, what is your signature story? Why do you do what you do? What's the essential story that brought you to this place? It tells how you got here and highlights your contribution and competencies. It's a story of significant people, places, and things that have shaped your brand. You know, this one is not an easy one to go through on the radio show, and I'm going to leave it to you to look at the book. But what she's looking for here is that in developing your branding strategy, your branding message, what is that story that you want to tell all the time? Of course, you'll shape it to the audiences a little bit. But what's that story that makes people go, oh, I want to deal with Paul Roberts? He's not just about making money by having a radio station. He's really dedicated to Orange County having a talking community, talking about what's critical, what's going on in Orange County. Doesn't really much care what's going on outside of Orange County. Well, other than the election, he's gotten a little obsessed with that. But that's the signature story that you're looking to develop. Also, she goes to the next step is, what is the signature services? What are your core competencies and offers? These are not general statements like I'm a coach. These are specific statements of what you bring to your clients that is different than what everybody else does. This isn't just that I provide team coaching. This is that I provide coaching that will make your executive management team work together, understanding common goals, a common mission statement, where the purpose of the company is greater but yet compatible with the individual purposes of the individuals involved. That starts to become a signature service. It's not just group coaching. It's what group coaching is supposed to deliver to the client. That's what I want to talk about. Now that you have kind of a clear statement of what your brand is, so the next step is to jump on social media and start taking orders, right? Probably not. Let's first take a look at what exposure on social media with a clear branding statement can do for you. See, I like to start out when I'm working on a problem with knowing, when I solve the problem, what do I get out of it? If what I get out of it is significant, then I'm all for working on the problem. If it isn't, I'm not too interested in solving the problem. So here's what you get out of having a clear branding message that you're going to use on social media. You're going to get brand recognition through more exposure. You're going to get a way to repurpose your material because it's got all of your material produced for whatever client, for whatever purpose, is going to have a common branding thread, common branding message that is going to run through it, so you can repurpose. And again, we talked about that last week when we had Molly here. She talked about the fact that she records a Facebook Live, and then she records it so you can hear it afterwards, and then she uses snippets of it in her marketing, and then she emails it out, and then she uses it in her master classes. All of it to point out the fact that she takes material that she generated once and uses it three or four times. That's really cost effective. That saves you time. What else do you get out of having a clear brand statement when you're using social media? Well, you start to get recognized as a thought leader. You get recognized as a thought leader, not just because you've got more exposure on social media, but because the exposure that you've got is consistent, spelling out a clear branding message. You know, when I hear somebody 10 times a day talking about 10 different things, it does not stick with me as well as when I hear them 10 times a day delivering the same clear message. The other thing you get from social media exposure is leveraged credibility. What do I get? What does that mean? Well, it's why I have such great guests on this show. They are so much smarter than I am. They have audiences that I'd love to get to know. And by having them on my show, by having them on OC Talk Radio and the Coaching Perspective, I get a certain amount of credibility because of the group that I run with, because of the people that I have here. You get a competitive advantage through a concise branding message. You know, I talked about the fact that few other coaches are radio show hosts. So whether or not somebody wants a coach that's a radio show host, the fact that I am a radio show host makes them remember me over some other coach. So what can you do in your branding message that makes you unique, that will make people remember? The other thing, and I think this is the last and most significant thing about what you can get out of social media with a clear branding message, is you get warm calls, not cold calls. And what do I mean by that? If you listened last week, you found out, you heard us talking about the fact that when Molly showed up at the studio location and met me in the green room, as she got out of the elevator, she immediately recognized me, rushed over, and gave me a hug because we both felt like we already knew each other, even though we'd never met before, because of the multiple contacts we'd had on social media sites, because of our Facebook connection, because of our LinkedIn connection, because of the videos that I watched, the videos that she watched, because of the emails, and because all of those things were consistent, telegraphing one unique, concise branding message, our call was not a cold call, it was a warm call. Wouldn't you love it if you never had to make another cold call again? If every relationship that you met was a warm call, all because of your use of social media and because of the ability to communicate a concise branding message. Well, you know, none of us have unlimited time and money, so we need to identify what social media sites we want to focus on. Where are we most likely to find our clients? Do the demographics of the clients, of the people on that social media site, do those demographics match up with the demographics of who I want to sell to? Is the site content one that you're comfortable with? For instance, if you're using Pinterest or Instagram, you're going to be generating a lot of photos because that's really how you communicate on those two sites. If you're using YouTube, you better be generating a lot of video. If you're going to be blogging, you better be generating a lot of written material. So you need to sort of sift through the various social media sites to identify the one that focuses on the content media that you're going to be comfortable generating material for. Does the social media site match your brand's tone, temperament, energy, and unique business proposition? Can you generate the material needed to make an impact on this site? You know, no matter how many sites you pick, your presence should be consistent between them in terms of colors, graphic, text, and tone. Now, before anybody starts sending me emails, if you look at my website right now, you're going to suddenly find that my website, in terms of graphics and colors, doesn't match my current newsletter that I'm sending out. It doesn't match my current business card because we're rebranding. But we realize that when we rebrand, I not only change my website, I change the logo, I change the newsletter, I change the Facebook site, I change the Facebook company page, I have to change LinkedIn, I have to change the way it appears on Instagram, on Twitter. All of those sites need to be consistent in terms of color, graphics, tone, texture, and everything else. That's what having a concise branding statement at the beginning will let you do. Well, I'm about to stop referring to Karen's book, The Brand Mapping Strategy, but I want to mention one other thing. At least half of the book, which we're not going to talk about today, but at least half of the book provides some great information about your personal branding statement. So, especially if you're a coach or a sole provider, be sure to read the second half very closely. As we get ready to wrap this up, let's recap to see if we've really dealt with the issue that we started with, which is your world's best kept secret, your service or your product. You know, in both my coaching practice and the businesses that I started and ran prior to this, I often felt that this statement was true. And it is terribly frustrating to know that you have a product or a service that people need, and yet nobody knows how to find you. You know, as a builder, I'll never forget the frustration of my last building project. I built residential homes primarily. And my last project was being built at the time that the whole industry went into a recession, including my company. Hard times limited our advertising money. The location of the product was one that was not on the main path for our potential buyers. We had to get creative about finding new, cheaper, but effective ways to get our project exposed to the buyers. Where were we going to deliver our branding message? The old method that we had used of buying large page ads in the LA Times was all of a sudden one that we couldn't afford anymore. However, the Penny Saver turned out to be both cost-effective and targeted to our audience, especially when I discovered that if we waited until just prior to the publication date, and if nobody had bought the back page, we could get it at a discounted rate. So all of a sudden, there we were, holding on just before the deadline every week, calling them up to go and talking to our salesperson going, anybody bought the back page yet? And if they hadn't, okay, what's the reduced price and I'll take it. Did this media, the Penny Saver, match our brand? Yes, we were able to target the ads in terms of where the Penny Saver delivered it to exactly the right demographics of who we thought would buy our homes. So that was a really good case of getting creative about finding a new way to go after our clients. You know, in running my executive forums business, it was the same frustration. Great service, world-class service, executive peer groups. But who are we selling to? CEOs of busy, successful companies who had no time to meet with somebody that was going to talk to them about joining another group. And that was our case until Paul Roberts, the producer of this radio show and of OC Talk Radio, suggested that we try using internet radio to interview CEOs. Why would we want to interview CEOs? Well, Paul said, you know, if you offer to interview a CEO for nothing, I'll bet you can get in the door, get to know them, create a relationship, and then you can talk to them about buying your executive peer group services. So, with Paul's help, we found a station in LA, discovered that indeed we were able to set up meetings with CEOs and start relationships that allowed us to tell them about our executive forums. However, we eventually discovered that the tone and temperament of that station was not compatible with our brand statement, and we were going to have to look elsewhere. You know, we found that out by accident, and this is an embarrassing story to tell, but when we were searching for a station, we looked for a station that would fit us in, that we could afford, that would broadcast in the area that we were interested in, all of those things that met the criteria, and we signed the contract and we started using them. Until a number of months down the road, one of the guests said, hey, I went and listened to the other programs on that station, and I don't think I want to be interviewed by you. I mean, what are you talking about? It turned out that most of the other programs on that station were pornography related. We didn't know about it. We hadn't listened to them. We were too busy doing our own thing. But hey, was that compatible with our brand statement, with the tone that we wanted to deliver? No way. So we got off of there right away, and that created the need for octalkradio.net, which Paul started, and here we are. You know, these are just a couple of real-life cases showing you how you have to constantly adapt to a changing environment to reach your customers. The constant in the business is your brand message. It should be changed very seldom. The ever-changing issue is, where are you broadcasting that brand message? With social media today, you have lots and lots of choices of where you can broadcast it. But before you start designing a new website, before you go wild about being on Facebook Live, before you spend your time blowing kisses and sending hearts on Periscope, find out and get clear on what your branding message really is. Map out a strategy. And if you need some help, go get Karen's book, Amazon, and you're going to find a lot of help. That's our message for today. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, to be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, HR professionals. Hey, if you can fog the mirror and you're an interesting person, we'd love to talk to you. Just drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope you enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information about branding that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.